In this morning's message, Pastor Steve continues our Empowered series by unpacking Luke chapter 10 and talking about how we are empowered to both sit and serve. Listen in.
It's good to see all of you here on this sunny Sunday, and it's always good to hear the voices of people joyfully sharing fellowship with one another. We have fellowship for a variety of reasons. You're a very fellowshipping church, so you don't need to be encouraged to do that. But between things, we sometimes need to get the choir down, or we need to get the children to go to children's church, and it just gives us an opportunity while doing that to greet some folks around us. I hope you have the opportunity to greet new people and go out of your way to do it. I hear that we're a really friendly church, and so I encourage you not only to say hi to maybe four people you know, but always pick one you don't know and get to know them, and that's great. We have a lot of fellowship after service. During the week, people fellowship. We have small groups. We even fellowship before the service. And what I would like to just encourage is that all of us make a concerted effort to arrive before the service so that we can fellowship with God, so that we can fellowship with one another. Somebody saw me coming in today with this, and they said, what are we going to do? And I said, I'm going to give everyone a paddling. And don't take that seriously, because I'm not. You're a great church. But we have commented from time to time, wouldn't it be great if everybody could arrive right on time? Because we do prayerfully consider every item of the service. And I know there are people in our congregation who come straight from work on Sunday morning and all kinds of other things. So if you came late today, I'm not looking at you. I'm not upset with anyone, but just genuinely, if we could all make a little effort to arrive right before, not 8:30, but 8:25 or something, even come up to the altar if you want and pray, I think that would work great. How many of you would agree that's at least a worthy goal? And I would hope that we would all participate in that. But no, this paddle here today is not to be used on anyone. It's actually my kayaking paddle. See, can anybody read what it says on that paddle? No, from there? It says Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R. They were going to put my name on it, and they misspelled it. Shame on them. No, actually, this is the Werner Company, and it's nice try on my behalf. But Vicky and I love to kayak. We took up kayaking when we came to New England. It's a sport that's easy. Anybody can participate in it. And we started out by getting a tandem kayak. That's when two people get into the same kayak and then have a long fight. That's what you should only get into a tandem kayak, like a bicycle built for two with somebody, you know, you're like that. And Vicky and I are certainly in love after 50 years, but we both are strong-willed. And so as a result of that, we quickly graduated to two kayaks. We go together, but we paddle differently. We go at things differently. We arrive at the same destination together, and so on and so forth. The great thing about kayaking is it's really simple. The hardest thing about kayaking is getting in and out of your boat, because usually you get in and out of the boat at a public dock, and you don't want to make a fool out of yourself, because you can easily fall in at those two junctures. So you got to put a leg in, and then you got to put this paddle like that, and then you've got to sit down quickly and put the other leg in, kind of all in one quick motion. Getting out is exactly the opposite. And once you learn to do it, it's really, really easy. Afterwards, however, in the middle between getting in and getting out of the kayak comes a journey, and that's where you use the paddle, because if you just sit there, you're going nowhere. And the paddle, of course, this kayaking paddle has two ends to it. And those two ends help you to steer. And the key to kayaking is to know how much pressure to apply to each paddle, how to use it. And it isn't just give equal pressure. Sometimes you've got currents. Sometimes you've got waves. Sometimes you need to get around a boulder that's out there. And so you use your paddle for that particular purpose. And it's pretty interestingly how you can alternate and you can get to wherever you want to go. And when I think of kayaking in so many ways is almost like a model of life, isn't it? It's a parable or an analogy of sorts, because the trick in life, like kayaking, is to end and start well. Would you not agree? The difference is we have nothing to do with how we get into the kayak called life, do we? I don't know that anybody sent us a memo and said, would you like to be born? We didn't choose where we would be born, who we would be born to. And to that extent, there's a lot of victimization today where you say, I didn't have any choice. And it is true that we didn't have any choice getting in the kayak. But how many of us know we've got choice getting out of the kayak, right? When we stand before God, we've got choices that we get to make. And in between, when we get in the kayak, get out of the kayak, we do a lot of paddling. And when we come into the spiritual kingdom, we discover that these two oars, the two ends of the paddle, have different names. Now, you'll notice that we have been involved in a series of messages that's called Empowered. Do you see that there on your bulletin? It's like a superhero explosion. Say empowered with me. Empowered. You got to make that P kind of pop there. And so we're going to talk about today another aspect of that empowerment. 2 weeks ago, we began with empowered to pray, and we all agreed from Romans chapter 8 that we do not know how to pray as we ought. We know how to pray. We know how to say words to God, but we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so therefore, it says in Romans that the Holy Spirit will come into us and help us with praying. Like kayaking, we can't be lazy. We got to put our oar in the water. We got to go to the lake. We got to do certain things, but God has got to help us. So we talked about being empowered to pray. Last week, Vicki did a great job, not only for the women, but for the men, for anybody, in talking about empowered to love. The Bible says, I show you a more excellent way, and then it talks about love. And how many of us know that love comes from the Holy Spirit? It says, for God so loved the world, so the Father loves. Jesus loves us, and He says, no one has greater love than that they lay down their lives for their friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. And then the Holy Spirit also brings the love of God into our heart, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But today we want to talk about a third topic, and that is empowered to both, say both with me, to both. It's not either or, and it's not on occasion one and occasion the other. It's both, empowered to both sit and to serve. Sit and serve. Sit and serve. Those are the two ends of the paddle, and we want to get that imagery into our minds. Now to this end, let's look over at Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read a well-known story. In fact, I'm going to comment on it a little bit later, but let's just get it under our belts right now. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and just follow along with me, if you would, as I read it aloud. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, you can almost see Jesus. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And we all say amen to God's word. So let's just go through the story again, looking for some nuances that will help us to bring it to conclusion. I mean, can you think of any better compliment than the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, wanting to stop of an afternoon and just hang out with you? He doesn't want to come to ask you to go on a missionary trip. He doesn't want your tithes and offerings. He just wants to hang out. And so imagine the doorbell ringing and you opening the door like Martha did, and there you see the smiling creator of the universe who spoke everything into existence, and all he says is, I'd like to come in and have a cup of coffee and a piece of your famous pie if you have one left. And I wrote kind of a little script here of maybe what happened that particular day. Jesus, here's his part. Hi, I'm in the neighborhood and thought I'd stop by to see what's going on. Martha, wiping her hands on her apron. Come in, Lord. Mary is praying. Lazarus is lying down. And I'm working my fool head off. What have you been doing? Jesus, Oh, let's see. Since I was last here, I quelled a storm, cast out a few thousand demons, fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 5 fish, or a few fish, and raised a little girl from the dead. Now, tell me about your life. See, we all need friends, don't we? We all need people with whom we feel safe. We can just spill our guts to, and they're not going to judge us. So the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus was a place of rest for Jesus. And there's a nonchalance about the way this story opens. It says, as Jesus and his disciples, so there were 13 of them, right, by my count? This was not just Jesus showing up for leftovers. 13 people, unannounced, show up. And in this village, there was a woman named Martha who opened her home to him. Doesn't say she opened her home to them. They were along for the ride, but they were there. But she opened her home to him. And Jesus had his disciples, but notice the text says that he's the one who came. It was Jesus who chose their destination. Elsewhere, we're told that this village was called Bethany. And we are told that Martha owned the home and that she opened it up gladly to Jesus. She's clearly the person in charge. Mary was her younger sister, and she liked to sit at Jesus' feet. Mary had a reflective disposition. She liked to listen, something that we don't have very much these days. She had a listening ear. Lazarus, her brother, who doesn't appear in this account but appears elsewhere, he mainly just stayed out of the way because he knew what was good for him if he didn't. These two sisters would really kind of box him upside his head. Martha, we are told, was distracting by her serving. Ironic, because the word service means diakonos, from which we get deacon. She was trying to do a good thing, but have you ever lost the victory while trying to do a good thing? Haddon Robinson says, when irritation is part of the service, it spoils the service. Let that sink in. Vicki and I were down on the Cape on a day off a couple of weeks ago, and we stopped in Sandwich, and we went to this restaurant that we have been to 2 times before, and we had said, we don't like this restaurant, but just because we're gluttons for punishment, let's go one more time. No, we actually thought, let's give them another chance. Nobody can be that bad. I mean, the prices are out of this world in terms of expensive, and they've got all this nice stuff, but it's not served well. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody is acting like as if they're doing you a favor to bring you the food. And when we got through with that, we said, never again. I mean, look at the amount we paid and the amount we tipped and so forth. Still gave the person a nice tip. Not going there again. Later that evening, it was time for supper. We stopped at a fast food fish place. Right, Vicki? I mean, absolutely the nicest people in the world. I couldn't see the tip jar, but I asked for it. And they pulled it out from under the counter. And, you know, I put stuff in there because I was really impressed that though they didn't expect to get anything, they actually served with a smile. When irritation is part of the service, it spoils the service. So Martha, 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 Martha. Martha prayed. Do you notice that she prayed? She doesn't say, Dear Heavenly Father. She said, here's her prayer. Because prayer is conversation with God. And who was in her living room? God. So she doesn't look up, Oh Lord Almighty God. She looks across at Jesus and she has a conversation like we all should. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And here's her request. Tell her to help me. Do you see the prayer? Now, for those individuals who say God always answers prayer, Jesus didn't answer this prayer. Jesus told her he wasn't going to answer this prayer. In fact, you'll notice his reply there in verse 41. Martha, Martha. You know, when anybody says that in the Bible, Martha, Martha, Simon, Simon, verily, verily, they're not stuttering. What they are doing is saying, what I'm about to say next is really for you, not anybody else. I'm not even going to talk to Mary. I'm talking to you, Martha. Listen up. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. One. Do you remember way, way back? This is going to date some people. The movie City Slickers, where Curly takes a guy out and tells him, there's this one thing you need to learn in life. What is that one thing? That's for you to figure out, he says. Great line. Mary has chosen what is better, say better with me, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part, which means that Mary had chosen probably the good part. The other night, Vicki and I went out to the Galleria Mall there in Taunton. It's sad. It seems to just be closing down every which way. And there's a Sears out there. And I used to work for Sears. They're closed down too. But in Sears, when I used to work for them, they were a big company all over the place. And I worked in the men's department, Department 41, I remember. And my job was to sell clothes mainly to women. Because this you discover in selling men's clothes. Men don't buy them. Women do. Women expecting their husband to have a funeral came in to buy him a suit. They had him by the ear. Come on in here. And I had to always sell to the women. And we had three different qualities of shirts and suits in those days. There was good, and there was better, and there was best. Good, it would last you, you know, through a couple of washings. And then you had better, and that was nice. And then best was like Hart, Schaffner, and Marx. It had lining in the trousers and all that kind of thing. And here Jesus is saying, Mary has desired the better. That's ranking number two. You, Martha, have desired something pretty good. But you know what is left hanging in the air that none of us ever address is what is best. If there is a better and there's a good, there's got to be a best. What's the best? I don't know about you. How many of us want the best in life for God? There's nothing wrong with saying that. So let's examine the alternatives here. First of all, we're going to look at Martha. And number one for her was good. Can you say good with me? Just good, like B plus. And she grew up hearing her mom say things we've all heard. I heard this all the time. Don't just sit there, do something. Have you ever heard those words? If you can lean, you can clean. The key was to appear busy whether you were or you weren't. My default position was to run off and get a book and sit down, but as soon as I did, sure as shooting, my mom would say, you got to come in here and you got to do this or that. Or my father, he was even I wouldn't say worse, but better, because I did learn from him how to work. But I mean, you know, you had to work. And so here we have Martha. Martha's, all of us who are Martha's will know this. Martha's make things run, but they are hard to live with. Their type A personalities, their favorite phrase is, we're burning daylight. They're driven, impatient, interrupt, complete your sentences for you, push, boss people around, take over, whether in the kitchen or in the church. They worship by serving, by working, by doing. They don't like to sit around, and they talk about prayer a lot, but they don't do a whole lot of it. To make matters worse, I relate to Martha. Does anybody else relate to Martha in the room? Yeah. Don't just sit there. Do something. All Marthas could stand to learn something from Irma Bombeck, who died some years back. Do you remember her? Some of you ladies especially. She wrote some kind of neat stuff, and usually with her tongue in her cheek. And as she discovered she had cancer and she was going to die of the cancer she had outside of some miracle, she wrote an article that was called, If I Had My Life to Live Over Again. And here's what she said. If I had my life to live over again, I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over for dinner even if the carpet was stained or the sofa was faded. I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble on about his youth. I would never have insisted that car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. That's clearly a long time ago. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show dirt, or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away every 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment of it and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in performing a miracle. And when my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, later, now go get washed up for dinner. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorrys, but mostly given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it, really see it, and live it, and never give it back. That's the word of a Martha coming to the end of life. And Martha, I like to call them Martys. Martys and Marthas. They are all part of the good. They're not bad, they're just good. Marthas and Martys accomplish so much, but they miss an awful lot. Do you remember the story I've often told about a legend? It's not in the Bible, so don't go looking for it. It's not in the Apocrypha or anything like that. It's not in the Catholic Bible. It's just a story that is told. It is told about how that on another occasion she got word, Martha did, that Jesus was coming for yet another wonderful meal. And she thought that she wouldn't blow it this time. Have you ever done that? I'm not going to do that again. She was preparing the meal and Jesus was to come at a certain time, but Jesus didn't show up. But a little boy did show up at her door and he knocked and said, Martha, can you and Mary come out and play with me? And she said, no, I can't come out and play with you. Can't you say I'm busy? The creator of the universe is coming to supper. She went back in and started fuming again. Where's Jesus? There's a film growing over the gravy. When a beggar woman knocked on the door and she said, could you give me something to eat? And Martha said, no, I can't give you something to eat. I've got Jesus coming. He's got all the food. No, I can't. Come back another day. And she's angry by this time. She shuts the door in her face. And finally, a man comes and asks for some clothes. He's not clothed well. And she says the same thing to him later. And Jesus finally shows up an hour late. And immediately on opening the door, he may be the Son of God, but she gives it to him full bore. Where were you, Jesus? This has happened before. I really tried to be patient this time. Why didn't you show up on time? Oh, he said, Martha, I did show up. I was the little boy. I was the old lady. I was the man. How many are the times that we miss seeing Jesus because of the fact that we have that Martha complex or the Marty complex? So don't just sit there. Do something is not the best advice in the world. I mean, there are times we need to stand up and we need to get to work. We really do. And Martha's would rather serve Jesus a dinner than sit at his feet. But as a result, Martha's often walk around not empowered. Remember, we're talking about empowerment today. You can't have the Holy Spirit come into your life in a hurry. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can't wait on God in a hurry. From my vantage point here, I can look out because we have a bus stop right in front of the church. Sometimes I look out the window and I can see people. There are those individuals who are pacing up and down, muttering to themselves, looking at their watch 50 times. And then there are people who just sit down and they drink a Coke right here on the steps. And I want to tell you, the bus arrives at the same time for both of them. You can't wait on God in a hurry. Martha shouts that to every single one of us. But then we've got Mary. And Mary is alternative number two. If Martha's good, Jesus himself said it, Mary's better. She's desired the better part. And listen, this is a play on words, but get this closely here. Mary says to us, don't just do something, sit there. Don't just do something, sit there. Mary's and their male counterparts, let's call those guys Matt, are the ultra-sensitive types. They're attentive and they empathize. They move deliberately and stop to smell the roses. They drive the rest of us crazy. Their worship is more introspective. So they may not always sign up to serve immediately, though they should and they will, hopefully. Marys generally drive the Marthas and the Martys crazy. Which of the two would you like to have as a counselor, however? If you went into Mary, now you would be in counseling for a couple of years, probably over the most minor problem. She would embrace you and cry for you and make you feel like $1 million, but I don't know that you would always get a whole lot better. Because if not careful, Marys can enable a lot, can't they? Martha, you go into her for exactly one counseling session that would last about 5 minutes. I don't know if any of you remember way back Bob Newhart. Does anybody remember? He was a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and he would have people come in. There's one episode you need to look up on YouTube if you haven't seen it. A lady comes in and needs help, and she asks how many sessions. Oh, he says, you'll only need one session. In fact, you'll only need 5 minutes. And she told him a little bit of her story, and then he said, I'm going to give you advice. You have your pen and paper there? Write it down. She said, should I write it now? Yeah, as soon as it comes out of my mouth, write it down. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. She said, is there any more? Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. That's all there is. We're through. You're free to go. She said, but I got two more minutes. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I've often thought that would be Martha right there if you went to a counseling session. All things considered, Jesus gave Mary quite a few points than Martha. Jesus himself lived by the rule. I've not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And how did Jesus know what to do? He spent a lot of time waiting on the Father. We see him constantly retreating from the crowds and people he could help, people knocking on his door to say, I'm sorry, that's it for today. I need to spend time recharging. I need to spend time empowering before Almighty God. Jesus' commandment was, come apart for a while, or you will come apart permanently. So when irritation is part of the service, it spoils the service. The other day, the staff and I were talking about which is more important, breathing in or breathing out. It's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? Which do you think? I'll tell you, my bias is very simply that it is breathing in. Because if you breathe in and you get pushed into the water, you've got about 60 seconds to figure it out before you die. But if you have just breathed out when they push you off the dock, you're not going to last very long. I would rather leave this place having breathed in the rarefied air of God and the power of the Holy Spirit than to have breathed it all out on people and go home and I myself become a castaway. What do they say whenever there's going to be some kind of decompression in an airplane? Parents, put on your face mask first. Why? Because you can't help anybody if you're out cold. So we have got Martha, she's good. And we have got Mary, and she is better sitting at Jesus' feet. But there's a third alternative, and it's the best one. And it is implied, and we have to search to find it. And it is the third alternative, and it is engulfing the third person in the room. And who's that? Jesus. Jesus doesn't say it. He doesn't have to say it, but Jesus' way is best. Because going back to our kayak paddle, Jesus, you will notice, uses the oars alternately. This is Mary, and too much Mary, and you're going to go in a circle, aren't you? This is Martha. You use this too much, you're going to go in a circle. Use this 60%, this 40%, you're still not going to go in the direction you should go. Though that's better. But what Jesus did was he knew exactly how to feel the calibration of the currents. And there would be times in the middle of a very successful day that Jesus would say, that's it for now. I've got to spend time with my Father. I've got to spend time renewing the power of the Spirit in my life. Jesus both set and served, did he not? And he has empowered us to do the same. Jesus left us an example that we might follow in his steps. And it is the third alternative, and it is the best alternative. It's not good, it's not better, it's the best one, and it is within the reach of all of us. Because Jesus said just before he went to heaven two things, and I'm going to quote them, both quotes by Dr. Luke. He records that Jesus came into the room after Easter, and he said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Sit at my feet. Hear my words. Get your act together. Be filled with the power. As though they may not have heard it, he said to them in the book of Acts, on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, say wait with me, wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus said, the Spirit will empower you, but first you must sit or you will never be able to serve effectively. We have a lot of people who love to serve, and that's good, but we also need to wait. And it isn't two different groups, folks. It isn't we have those who sit and those who serve. We are supposed to, like Jesus, be combined so that because we have sat, now we can serve more effectively. We are empowered, or should be, to both sit and to serve. Now, did Mary and Martha emerge the better for this conversation, this initial conversation with Jesus that is recorded here? Well, there are two other times shortly thereafter that we see these two ladies. And the first occasion is found over in John chapter 11, and the other is John chapter 12. And I'm not going to read them because you can read them for yourself and you know pretty much what the stories are. But Lazarus, the guy who stayed out of the way and didn't say much, kept his head down, he knew what was good for him around these two ladies, he dies. And they send to Jesus and say, the one you love is very sick, he hadn't died yet, come. In the meantime, he dies. And so they have the funeral, and Jesus is not there. Do you think Martha was happy about that? I'm going to guess she wasn't any more happy than him being late for the meal. It says that when Jesus got to the town, chapter 11, verse 20, that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Does it sound like to you that they were pretty much out of the same cloth still? And guess what? When you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to be cut out of the same cloth as the day you were born. The Spirit does not change our personalities. He changes our character. If you were an introvert before, you're going to be an introvert after. You're going to preach, but you're going to be an introvert preacher. That's me. And if you are an extrovert, God's not going to change you and send you off to a monastery. That's not the way He shaped you. He's going to let you be as bombastic as you usually are, but He's going to harness that energy for His honor and for His glory. And so we have Mary and Martha, and after they get this good talking to, they are still the same in one sense, but I want you to notice that when Martha comes out, she has become far more contemplative. She gives up until that time the greatest statement of who Jesus is. Jesus says, do you believe that I can raise the dead? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. How do you get any better than that? She didn't get that response by rattling around the pots and pans. She got it somewhere along the way by meditating upon Jesus and having prayers that were more than, Lord, tell my sister to help me. Notice, though, that later on it says, when Mary heard this, she got up and went to him. So she's not just anymore kind of sitting and waiting for Jesus. She becomes a little Martha-like and becomes proactive. But notice that when she reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. You notice Mary's default position is always Jesus' feet. Martha's default position is always, sign me up for the picnic. I'll be glad to help and cook the burgers. But we have to have a little bit of both, don't we? And then it says, in finality, that they had a supper for Lazarus after he was raised from the dead, John chapter 12. It was in the city of Bethany, and verse 2 says of chapter 12, here a dinner was given for Jesus in his honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at table, and then Mary took a pint of pure nard of expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful how that God has patience with us over time? He teaches us how to kayak through life. He says to us, you were born into the family you were born into. Quit blaming that and victimizing and realize that even though that was not good for an awful lot of people, I am the God who can take all of your mistakes and your hurts and your pains and use them. And you've got to learn how to steer a true course. You need to learn how to trust in me and sit. You need to learn how to get up from that posturing. You need to know when to serve. And it's a balancing act until you get to the other side of the lake, whatever the other side is. And then the goal is to get out without making a fool of yourself. To get out and to stand firm. We've been empowered to both sit and to serve as long as we live. Mary and Martha learned how to merge the two. And they were no longer, as we see them ending up, good and better. They are both best. And that's where God wants us to end up. Annie Lamott, an author I'd like to read, says that almost everything will work again if it is unplugged for a few minutes, including human beings. Have you ever discovered that? If your computer's not working, what do they usually tell you if you call Verizon? Have you tried unplugging it? Your life is a mess. Have you ever tried unplugging it? We sing, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Do you know that the average Christian would go crazy with 1 hour to spend in prayer? We've gone through our list in about 5 minutes. We can say, now I lay me down to sleep. We can say the Lord's Prayer. We can say the Apostles' Creed. And then we got plenty of time left over. But you see, the thing about prayer is it's a conversation. And we forget that we too often get up and run off before sitting at Jesus' feet to hear the response. I conclude with this. You know, several years ago, I had a very serious fall, went out of the country, and I had a major concussion. And I came home and saw the experts, saw many, many experts, neurologists and so forth, and they said the only thing that can help you is rest. The body will have to regenerate itself. This will have to heal itself. And so they told me, you need to go home and you need to lay down. For how long? Till it gets better. Well, I didn't want to hear that. Martha doesn't want to hear that. And so I have to admit that though I didn't turn the TV on, I did look at my computer. I did some reading and other things. I laid down. Oh, I was so aggravated. God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to heal me? Went to my doctor, and my wife said, I'm going with you. I said, I don't want you to go with me. She said, that's why I'm going with you, because I know what you're going to say to the doctor. So the doctor predictably asked me the question, and I know her well. She said, Reverend, have you been doing what you are supposed to do? I said, yes, Vicki. He said, no, he hasn't, doctor. And I kind of gave her, you know, the death stare. And the doctor said, I figured that you wouldn't. She said, why haven't you? I said, because I'm bored. I'm just laying there. Now, let me put a pause in that. Have you ever wished for a time to have a spiritual retreat? Have you ever wished, if I could just have a week away from everyone and go to a monastery or somewhere and just spend time with God? And then when God gives it to you, you don't know what to do with it because it comes under a different wrapping. It doesn't present itself as a week at a monastery. It presents itself as 3 months of laying down on your back. And so the doctor, who is Hindu, said, well, you're a Christian, I'm Hindu, but we both believe in meditation. I said, yeah, we believe in different kinds of meditation, but yeah. She says, well, have you ever wanted to meditate a lot? I said, yeah, I do. I really would like the time to do that. She says, you've got the time now. She said, just lay down and meditate. In other words, what she was saying to me was, be merry, desire the better part, and ultimately get to the best part. Music needs its rests. Did you know that? Have you ever heard music that has too many notes? Writing needs punctuation. You need semicolons and commas, so forth. Canvas, if you're an artist, needs some empty space. Otherwise, it's just, you know, like Jackson Pollock, piece of art. And finally, God breaks through into our lives. Like kayaking, life is about getting into and out of the boat with grace and rowing a straight course. And when we do that, then God reveals to us day by day the plan for our lives. Did you know that? He reveals it to us. He says, you've sat long enough, now you can get up and you can go serve. Somebody, in fact, it was Vicki sent to me this video, and she sent it to me, and it was in really bad form, but then we found it so that we could actually get a better format, and I think we're going to show that right now, because this really talks to us about what happens when we both sit and serve, and the importance of slowing down to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to see the people He wants us to minister to so we don't rush by them this week. You following what we're talking about? So if we could just roll that, please.
kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh... Kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
It's about time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah, can I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thanks,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. For $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience. Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What is... What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Well, do we get it? Kind of get the drift? The ideas that are sitting at Jesus' feet leads to serving. Amen? Let's all stand. And let's just, for the last few moments of this gathering, as we sing a final song, not think about what we have to do, even the classes we have to go to or the good things we need to do today. Let's just really focus on the Lord and sit at His feet for just a few moments, though we're postured as standing right now. Same thing. And let's worship Him together, if you will.
I give myself away.
Jesus.
Oh, I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. Here I am, here I stand.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Take my heart, take my life,
take my life
as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Let's just lift our hands to God in praise and in worship. You know, we so often think of praise and worship as being only singing. But as I've been studying the scriptures, praise and worship incorporates our bodily manifestations of praise, lifting our hands, kneeling, sitting, standing, shouting, being quiet. I know many of us have very busy weeks ahead of us, but all the more reason we need to spend these last few moments of this gathering with our hands and our hearts open to receive from God, just like Mary might have done. Your hands should not right now be holding pots and pans, but rather just being empty and open to receive from God what He has for you. There's time enough for God to give you instructions to do something this week, but now this is your time with Him. This is when He wants to talk to you and to me and to have a conversation. Let's just lift our hands to God and say, oh Lord, we so often are in a rush. We're in a rush to get to church. We're in a rush to get a home. We're in a rush to mow the lawn. We are in a rush to go to that party. And our lives are so occupied that if we aren't careful, we shut you out. We can't be exclusively like Mary, but one side of the paddle certainly needs to be an oar that clearly says, sit. Wait. Listen. Receive. Then we can get up and we can go and do your bidding, even as you did when you walked the face of this earth. You got up every single time from your posture of kneeling or sitting, and you went out and you ministered to someone, but you never ministered without the anointing. Holy Spirit, we need you in our hearts, in our lives, if we are to give ourselves away. For if we don't spend time with you, we have nothing to share. We have nothing to impart. We have no wisdom. We have no knowledge. We've been rushing too much. Help us to realize that hurry is not of the devil. Hurry can sometimes actually be the devil. And he can prod us along to get moving when actually we should just sit and wait in your presence. Help us to carve out deliberate times this week to employ the words of this message today and to put them into effect. Minister to each and every person who is here this morning, and please touch their lives and fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us, let's just invoke the power of the Spirit of God into our hearts and into our lives.
Hallelujah.
Just say, come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
I sit and wait before you. Come, Spirit of God, and fill me to overflowing. Give me wisdom. Give me a pair of glasses like that so I can see people the way they really are. Help me to see through the lens of heaven every need that I will encounter this week. Just say that to God in your own way.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, and if there's anyone in the place today who needs a healing touch, would you heal them? The greatest healing touch is salvation. If there's someone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, sitting and waiting will not do any good until, first of all, they've asked you to be their Lord. Help them to do that. Heal their spirits. But there are those who are ill in body. Would you heal their bodies right now? Some are under incredible stress. Some are working two jobs to make ends meet. Some are going through difficulties and they don't know what the answer will be. But as we wait upon you, the strength will come. The answer will come. Give us the faith and assurance that you are working even though we don't see you at work right now. We sit at your feet and wait upon you, Lord Jesus. We give ourselves away, but first we give ourselves to you, O God. Hear our prayers, we ask. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing those words again. I give myself away. Just sing those words.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Yes, we do, Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Fill us each and every one of
you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray these things. And all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.
Can we give the Lord praise as we
Hallelujah.
Go? Amen.
Thank you,
give
Lord.
Give yourself away this week. Amen.